Okay, Mama, we're ready for you.
Thank you. You did great. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So tonight I asked Ricky to pull together some of the more common questions people ask about union, and I would try to answer those questions instead of, just doing a narrative of teaching, but trying to help you where you have the most questions if you desire entering into union with Christ. So, honey, let's go ahead and get started and see how it goes.
Okay. Right. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay. So, how can we encourage others, other believers, to seek union? I know it's not a question about us, about union per se, but how can we encourage other believers to seek union?
Well, I think that question is probably best answered by saying, according to what you know about this person's spiritual walk, if they are regular seekers of the Lord, then encourage them not to pull back from that, but rather to continue on in your pursuit of the Lord. And that he will truly answer those who are sincere of heart and help them better know the way. Now, two of the very most important things in this pursuit is your word life and your prayer life. Those have to be strong and pure before the Lord, before he'll lead us any further. But it is something he very much desires for his church. Okay, honey.
Okay, thank you. So, I'm trying to go back and forth a little bit in questions. Okay, so, does the Lord give little glimpses, or maybe experiences or tastes of what it's like to be in union that might draw a person on that path? Does he give almost like little deposits of what it would be like that would cause you to yearn even more for union?
Yeah, he would do that if the person he's dealing with is showing a serious endeavor to enter into union. So, if they have a good, strong prayer life, if they have a good, strong word life, and they are striving to live according to the nature and character of Jesus Christ. Now, that may sound like a lot to some people, but if it's something you've been doing, then you know it's really not that frightening. But he does look at those things to decide whether he's going to show you more. And I'll tell you why. We are held responsible in this life for the truths we are given. So if he gives us truth and we just play with it like an emotional or spiritual toy, he's not going to give much more, if any. So he wants, the Bible says that God is looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. So how important it is that we live our lives according to truth, and that we strive to walk in tandem with the Spirit of Christ and his nature and character. And like I said, if we are doing this, loving our neighbor as ourself and loving God supremely above all else, he will work with you to bring you into deeper places. Okay, honey.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, so can you describe the stages of union with Christ, you know, if they exist?
One more time, please.
Can you describe the stages of union with Christ?
That would take a long time. so sorry.
It's okay.
I personally have been taken through 40, that's 40 levels of union with Christ. And he's done that over a period of 30 years. And just recently, although I didn't change level, I apparently was taken into an alteration of authority and knowledge and understanding. What he called it was that he had moved me into a new seat. And so I've been very cautious, very very, I don't know what word to use, but very active and sincere in my endeavor to understand this new position, because I haven't necessarily come into a new level, but yet more responsibilities. So he does take you through not only levels, but learning different things about him and union, if that helps. Go ahead, honey.
Yes. Okay. So in this process of trying to look at the, I'm so sorry. Here. Okay, so is everyone called to make union? And if so, how would they recognize that they're being called by God to make union?
I think God would take anyone into union that was sincere and pure in their quest. If all they want is his gifts, he will not. If a person is wanting a reputation from walking deeper with the Lord, he will not. If there's anything about self in the quest, he will attempt to cleanse us of that impurity. And if we refuse to be cleansed, then the hope for union will be cut off. But if he finds a purity, a sincerity, and the willingness to endure the journey, because it can be very beautiful, but there are times and places that it can be rough, and we have to be willing to endure all that he would send in order to enter into union. So if he has that agreement with us, he will move heaven and earth to help you get into union, I promise.
Yes, and I think that answers it, and it also answers a couple other questions as well. We have to be willing to endure all. We have to have a word and a prayer life. Our pursuit has to be sincere and pure. These are the things I'm pulling from what you've shared.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that answers some of these other questions as well. So how do you know how close you are? You know, even in the first level of union, or the second, or you said 40 for you, how do you know? Is it hard to, like, did you know you entered your first stage, or did you realize that way after the fact, that, oh, that was the first step?
Yeah, there were times that he visited me and imparted things of himself to me that I honestly did not know if it was just an impartation to help me on my daily walk, or if it was in fact a partial impartation of union. But he does eventually tell us. Not everyone knows as much about the stages of union as he has given to me, only because he's giving me extra information so that I can help the church and anyone who wants to be in union to enter therein. But I have to be very honest with you. I have found in all of my years of trying to help the church settle down and go into this most coveted blessing, I just haven't found hardly anyone who's willing to pay the price. And that says a lot, because I've talked to thousands and thousands of people. But it hasn't been because God won't bring them in. It has been that they do not want to pay the price.
Okay, so that said, if a person feels that they're willing to pay the price, and in this union we're talking about is a personal union with God, right? It's a personal union. It's not the church as a whole. It's a personal entering into union with the Lord, right? A one-on-one.
Jesus,
if you will,
Christ.
With Jesus, right.
The
okay.
Spirit of Jesus Christ.
So this is separate from the unity of the faith, the unity of the body. This is separate.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And so if in our process we ask the Lord to show us, you know, the things that grieve him or the barriers, or even if we've experienced trauma, if we ask him to show these things that might be barriers to that pathway, will he do this?
Yes, he will. Not only show us, but he will heal them or remove them, whatever is needed. There is nothing that you could pass through or over in your efforts that he will not move out of the way if you're serious. He really does want this more for his church than his church could ever want it with him. And the very essence of walking in union with him can simply be said that you yield yourself to the Spirit to make you a Christian that is capable of entering into union, meaning complete identification with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way you can do that is to let him purify you. We all have a sinful nature. Everyone's born with it. But that thing can be eradicated. He eradicated that in me, and he can eradicate it in anyone that really is sincere about union. And that spirit alone it's called sinful nature in the New Covenant, and it's called the spirit of iniquity in the Old Covenant. But everyone except Christ is born with a sinful nature. But as I just said, when you are ready to be freed of that thing, he will free you from it. Because it can play a hindrance or prolonging of your venture to enter into union. Yet, if you're really, really working hard to enter into this, you could still still have the sinful nature even 20 years into your quest, because it is so much a part of you from birth. Unless we enable him to start showing us our sin, repenting of it, and doing whatever we need to do to have it eradicated, until we are doing that, he doesn't even bother with letting us know about the sinful nature. That is something he alone can deal with, and he won't deal with it until it is safe to deal with it in one that is pursuing him. So he takes us down paths where we grow stronger spiritually, so that when we enter into certain places of strength in order to to be able to maintain the advances that he gives us. He can only take us to places where that has been developed. And once we prove ourselves there, then he can bring you into more. I've had years where I've received one or two levels. I've also had years where I have received five or six. So none of it is, you know, set up in such a way that I can tell you, you can have two advances a year and that's it. He just works with us according to our will to do what he tells us to do. Does that help?
Yeah, that's good. Okay. This question is, I think, along these lines, but it includes the outpouring and revival. Will the Great Awakening and with the outpouring that's coming with revival and the release of Melchizedek, will this prepare more people for union? Will it, you know, I don't know how to word that. Will it prepare and open the door even for more people to come into union? Maybe people that don't realize that the pursuit they've been on is a path of union, because maybe they haven't heard that terminology. Will it open the door for more people to enter into deeper places with the release of Melchizedek, the outpouring, like collectively? I think I asked a lot of questions. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's move Melchizedek outside of this dynamic. I received Melchizedek, the full mantle, in 1995. And right around that same time, others also received some degree of it. When I talked to Bob Jones about it, I was taken to heaven to be given that mantle. And when I talked to Bob Jones about it, I said, how much of a priesthood are we looking at, do you think? He said, probably not more than 25, Nita, because the Melchizedek priesthood will be so anointed, so clothed with power and authority, it's not going to take a lot for God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish through them. And shortly after I received it, I saw what looked like anywhere from maybe 50 to 75 other Melchizedek priests released into the body of Christ. So I asked him what he thought about that, and he said that's going to be the maximum. He just doesn't need any more. But Melchizedek, the reason it's a blessing to the church is because of the power and authority that is on that priesthood, and it will lay like a blanket over the church that's been prepared for it. So that people who are not anointed or clothed with it will automatically, if they are true seekers, they will be able to touch and experience the value of Melchizedek as one of God's children. So you don't necessarily have to have the full shebang, if you will, to be able to flow in a greater power and authority. You'll never, if you're not given the mantle of Melchizedek, you will never flow in the greatest increase of it, the greatest authority for it, because you're not capable of wearing it. It would hurt you more than it would help the Lord. So we don't need a lot of Melchizedeks around the world. We just need those who are sons of Melchizedek or daughters of Melchizedek, if you will, to do what they're asked to do by the Lord. And they will, if they need something that is in the Melchizedek priesthood, he will take from one who is walking in the fullness of it and give it to those in a given area that will need the benefit of whatever he's transferring to get the work done they're asked to get done. So no one will be without what they need. The key for today in the church really is to come out of our rebellion, our self-righteousness, our thoughts that anything God wants to put in the church, he's going to have to do it in you and through you. When you are taken into Melchizedek, you have had to learn how to walk in his humility and his meekness, because that priesthood carries too much authority and power to be given to anyone who is not walking in it. It's just not good for you. It's not safe for you. So, but for those who were created to wear it, and that's the key. For those who were created to wear it, those will be dealt with through hardships. You know, the Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And these Melchizedekian priests will have learned obedience not by a good pat on the back, but by the things you suffer. In other words, he gives you something to do and you have to suffer to do it. If Jesus learned that, know that others who are wearing higher levels of authority and power in the church will also have to learn that lesson. But going beyond that, there's so many things I write about, so much of this in my book, Melchizedek. There are so many things, so many powers, so many offices, so many mantles that are going to be released for this next great awakening, that it is going to be easier for someone who really is serious about going deep in God to go as deep as they want to go. It will be, I know that this is not a great equation, but it might be kind of accurate. It's like, you know, you're traipsing through the snow, right? And it snowed last night, so the snow's up to your ankles. And someone might say, so how much snow did you have to deal with last night? And you say, well, up to my ankles. It was kind of fun, but up to my ankles. And then someone else comes along, and the two of them are still talking about the snow. And one of them says, "So how much snow did you get where you live last night?" And the person says, "Up to my knees." And we say, "Were you walking in it?" "Very carefully." And then maybe someone else comes along and says that he was walking in snow up to his waist. Now, I know this kind of stuff is possible because my grandmother lived when she was with us here on Earth. They would get snow sometimes that would literally cover their log cabin. And so we can get all kinds of levels, right? I don't think many people are going to be walking around outside when the snow is above your head. But I'm trying to make a point here that his authority and power will come to people according to the kingdom's need to reproduce certain mantles, certain positions of authority and power. And they'll walk in whatever they need to accomplish what he will give, and it will all be during the same time. It's going to be an incredible display of the glory and the power and the authority of the kingdom. Does that answer that question, Rick?
Yeah. Yes, it does very well, actually. Okay, so I know we're kind of melded the question a little bit. I did. So for Melchizedek to be among the Melchizedek, you need to be in union, correct?
No. But
what?
You will probably.
Okay, now.
But a person who is in the first level of Melchizedek, it too has levels, will probably receive that in their first level of union. That's how it happened with me.
Okay. Okay, so to be a Melchizedek priest among the 75, or, right, you said 25 or 75?
No, it's anywhere between 25 and 75. Bob
okay,
Jones
so to
said
be...
25. I thought I saw 50 to 75, so in between his figure and mine. Go ahead.
Okay, so to be at that level... So my question was, to be at that level, would you need to be in union then to arrive at that level?
If you're talking about the fullness of Melchizedek,
yes.
you would want to really start working at entering in to a pretty high level of union, because the demands would be so great.
Okay, but not everyone that enters union would be a Melchizedek priest, correct?
No.
Is that?
No.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
But people, you know, can order our book on Melchizedek from the office. We don't charge for the book, and they can, if they'll just pay the shipping fee. And then they can find out for themselves.
Okay. Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. I was reading a question that just came in. Okay. So that's correct. And that is available. It has been translated. So we do have that available.
Okay. Can you tell me what the translations are?
We have it available in both Chinese and Korean.
That's great, honey. What about Spanish?
No, we don't. We don't have that in Spanish.
All right.
Okay, so okay, give me 1 minute to scroll through here. I'm so sorry. Okay, while I'm scrolling through here, you've talked about the Jubilee anointing and the coming.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Is it coming soon?
It will be part of the awakening.
Okay. All right. So I did have a question. When it says in Revelations that we've been made kings and priests by his blood, what are those? If they are not Melchizedek, what are they?
Kings and priests. You know, it's amazing to know that every human being on the face of the earth has a kingship I don't know really what to call it, but they are considered kings by heaven. Everyone, saved or unsaved. If they don't walk with the Lord, but they go deep into the occult, they can be dangerous because of that. But most people never know that they're a king. But those in the kingdom need to know, because you've got authority to do things you're not using. And the priesthood anointing, David is a perfect example, because he was a king and he himself recognized himself as a priest. So the priesthood has to do with your relationship with God. And your kingship has to do with your relationship with people. Does that help?
That makes a lot of sense. Yep, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, well, we can let this go now unless there's something.
Okay, I had one more.
Okay.
Very much appreciated this. And wanted to know how not to worry who is the greatest, right? And not to worry about who's the greatest, but to just be obedient and pursue him. Isn't that sweet? I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Just don't. The enemy would love to have you, you know, plunking away at things like that make, they don't add to what he's created us to do, but they can detract from it. So we never have to worry about who's the greatest. Christ is the greatest, and our obedience means everything to him and to the Father. And it will allow us to be used any way they want to use us. You know, here I am, 75 this year. And the truth be known, Jesus told me, it's been within the last year, that he himself does not yet know all that the Father wants to do through me. This is our Lord Jesus saying this. And he wasn't trying to impress anyone with that comment. What he was trying to do is say, so don't worry. When it's time for you to know, you'll know. In fact, we'll both know, so that I can help you do what you have to do. And that is the way it is. Right now, our goal is obey him today. If you want to start asking him, what could prevent me from entering into your perfect will this year? Please tell me. And please develop your humility, meekness, and your own love for our Father through everything that I go through this year, good and bad. And last but not least, make me a heart of obedience from my toes clear up to my head. And if you're praying prayers like that, you will come to know everything you need to know right on time.
Praise God. That's good, Mom. I think that's really helpful because one of the questions I got is how to start that process. So I think that was really, you answered that.
Okay, thank you, honey. You did a wonderful job.